AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. In her first sit-down interview since becoming the Democratic nominee for president, Vice President Kamala Harris was asked about some of her changes in policies.
The most important and most significant aspect of my policy perspective and decisions is my values have not changed.
Harris interviewed on CNN. Former President Trump says that if he wins a second term, he wants to make in vitro fertilization free. No details yet on how it would work or how he'd pay for it. A second case of Eastern equine encephalitis, a brain inflammation in a person, has been confirmed in Massachusetts by state health officials. A man from Massachusetts has been charged with scheming to cover up bomb making. Federal investigators say he triggered an explosion in his dorm at the University of Chicago. Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić announcing a $3 billion deal to buy French warplanes. That's a shift from always buying arms from Russia. This is ABC News. A listeria outbreak is spreading.
The CDC now says more than 50 cases of listeria have been reported in 18 states, leading to 57 hospitalizations and now 9 deaths. Listeria is a particularly nasty germ that can remain on surfaces like meat slicers and in food, even at refrigerated temperatures. It's also pretty sneaky. Some people don't get symptoms for up to 10 weeks after they've been contaminated. This outbreak is linked to certain now recalled Boar's Head and Old Country brand sliced deli meats, with sell-by dates of October of this year. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
For the second week in a row, the average on a 30-year mortgage has eased. Freddie Mac says the rate has fallen to 6.35%. It's down from over 7% a year ago. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie hoping to bridge the gap between dreams and reality for some hopeful politicians. The Republican will teach a course on running for office at Yale University this semester. Chuck Severson, ABC News.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
Mino and the Mayor.
We ate so much wild game. I mean, every Sunday was rabbit, partridge, fish, venison.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That was not believable.
At all.
No, was, no, that like, wasn't. Yeah. Wow.
Trying to. Yeah. Well, I just. We did not do that.
Cool.
We did
not.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two Wisconsinites have died from West Nile virus, and the Department of Health Services confirms another is in the hospital. The three people affected are from Outagamie, Fond du Lac, and Brown counties. Our rainy summer created paradise for mosquitoes, so do whatever you can to avoid being bitten. And Governor Tony Evers' changes to the state's spending on schools happen all through line item veto. In Wisconsin, the governor can simply cross out any parts of a bill that's been passed by the legislature, sign it, and it becomes law without all the parts that have been crossed out. So in 2023, he took the Republican-authored state budget and crossed out this and that, ending in an extra $325 more per student for the next 400 years. A conservative advocacy group filed a lawsuit saying he exceeded his authority when he did that. But this week, a Dane County judge said Evers' changes to the law were totally legal. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
Big inning leads to a big win in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports. The Brewers used a 5-run fifth inning to win 5-3 over the San Francisco Giants Wednesday night. Manager Pat Murphy said that they got some timely hitting in the middle of the game.
I like the fact that we got a big two-out hit, opposite field ground ball by Churio, and then Perkins, who had a great night, and then Contreras put an excellent exclamation point on it.
William Contreras hit a two-run home run in the inning, while Freddy Peralta struck out 8 6 innings of work as Milwaukee climbed to 20 games over 500. The series finale is Thursday afternoon. The Green Bay Packers cut their roster down to 53 this week, including making some big decisions at kicker and running back. The Packers open the season a week from tomorrow against the Eagles in Brazil. And the Wisconsin Badgers kick off their football season tomorrow night against Western Kentucky at 8 p.m. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight. Some could be strong with damaging wind gusts and heavy rainfall. Lows in the upper 60s as rain comes to an end Friday morning. Pleasant temps and sunshine ahead for Friday and the holiday weekend. It's 71 right now.
Maggie Dawn.
Fred Gutenberg, whose daughter was killed in the Parkland shooting, joins me next. We'll talk about why Derek Van Orten is unfit to serve another term in U.S. Congress.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Colin Cook, he need cut a game.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, we're about to have a big storm here in St. Paul, and our guest, Robert Lilligren, who's from the Native American Community Development Institute and a White Earth Ojibwe, may have to take over the show with Brad if the storm gets bad here. And we know Robert's an old pro, and he's many, many things, but he also went to the old school Brown Institute, which all the famous people went to back in the day, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. I didn't sign up to take over the show. The first wave of the storm already went by my house. It's pretty intense. Oh. I know there's another wave coming.
Oh, geez. Well, all these storms this year are really kind of really telling us what's happening with our weather, I think. And it's really been a pretty crazy year. And I always used to say, Robert, that the weather people were pretty accurate, but that hasn't been recently because of this humidity. Stuff's been popping up out of nowhere.
Well, and what we've done to our planet, right? And our climate, it's so much less predictable. You can't really look at the past. In some ways, I feel like the more precise the technology gets, just the more range of potential experiences and events there might be. But these storms this last few days have been pretty powerful, pretty destructive. We've lucked out here in Knockwood at our house, but all around us, trees down, buildings damaged. Yeah,
we went to the fair, my daughter and I, Mahinu, Jaleesa, and our booth at the fair was saved pretty well. I think things were knocked over a little bit. But there was some serious damage out there and damage on the way there and on the way to the fair. So it really made us take pause. And now today, too.
Yep. And for those who aren't from Minnesota, the Minnesota State Fair is huge. It's a huge event, well attended. And this week, for the first time, they actually postponed the opening of the fair because they had to do storm cleanup. And it's never been postponed before. And it's whatever, I suppose, more than a century history. And so so this is what's happening to our climate. And this is how we're needing to adapt. And, you know, Minnesota overall is getting hotter and wetter with our climate. And so what does that mean to us as people, especially those of and to our to how we treat the land, how we manage our infrastructure? It's going to be change and it's going to be costly.
You know, the last three years, we had a drought. And there was wild rice I heard being was growing again like it hadn't in 100 years in the Twin Cities.
Right.
That, it was just crazy. And then all of a sudden this year we have all this rain and we don't have a drought. And then back up the winter we had no snow. And then the year before we had probably the third largest snowfall in history.
Right, right. And it's ricing season here, as we know, and a lot of our relatives are up ricing right now. And just the preliminary stuff I've heard is that even with all the water we've had, and maybe we've had too much, but it's not that abundant of a ricing season. And then the storms have brought a lot of wind that knocks out the grains. And so we'll see. Fingers crossed. You always want abundant in the ricing season.
Yeah, and our friends up north, Robert, maybe you can talk a little bit about this, but I know rice and fish is really sustains the economy for a lot of our relatives up there over the years. And I know so right now, too.
Right. Oh, for sure. For sure. And then, you know, it's just, it's such a whatever. What am I trying to say? A cultural thing, right? Mm-hmm. We need our rice. And so... So we'll see how it goes, and then it's having impact on other crops, right? And Haley just dropped into the chat about corn sweat, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, that was the first I had heard of it. A lot of people talking about corn sweat, right?
Yeah,
I guess it. You know, the sweat off the corn that we grow here. You know, just tons of corn here in Minnesota, right. But I guess it gives off sweat and makes you know the moisture in the air a lot higher.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I just learned that.
Very interesting.
I just learned that just right
we're all
now.
All living together.
Yes, we are. But I don't know if that affects like the storms or, you know, creates higher energy for the storms. I don't know.
Sure. Wow. I'm sure it raises the heat level here. And we're in a very agricultural part of the country, right? And the impact that climate change is having on our ability to grow. We have lots of corporate sort of farming that has done a lot of negative things to our land and our water, for that matter. And so how do we relearn how we grow food? I believe that the best solutions are local, right? Localized production, localized distribution, like the old days. The family farms, the gardens in our yards, and things. Mm-hmm. And so I suspect that we'll see a return to some of the older ways of farming and the traditional ways of farming.
Well, and your organization has a garden, and that's you're putting your money where your mouth is, so to speak, right. Because people are learning. You can have an inner city garden and eat from it and things like that. Robert, you're roughly the same age as me, and I remember...
Yeah, but I look so much younger.
And taller. I look younger on radio. Oh, wow. We used to only get certain foods during a certain part of the year, and now it's like we get everything all the time. We're so spoiled from either all over the country or these... You mentioned corporate farms, and I really can't stand the corporate farms where they have thousands of cows and pooping all over the place and all that.
Right. Thanks for the shout out to our urban farm, our Four Sisters urban farm. It produces today at our Four Sisters Farmers Market. I bought all of my produce from our urban farm stand, and very local, just growing just a few blocks from where it's sold, right? So that helps. And, you know, my dad was an agricultural broadcaster on the radio for a big chunk of his career. And so he knew a thing or two about agriculture. And I remember back in the 1970s, even, you know, when I was a kid, and he would talk to me about the direction that farming was taking in this country. And my dad said, the reason we can enjoy such a high quality of life in this country is because our food production is local and very cheap. He said, but that's changing. And these corporate farms will take over and gobble up all the land, and then they will be setting prices, availability. And he said, and our standard of living will change because of that. That was 50 years ago, you know, and it turns out he was right. He knew what he was talking about, you know, and what he was seeing in the future back then is what's happening now.
Yeah, it's being a old kid that my dad listened to that station every day. It's always really fun to bring up your dad because it's a great childhood memory for me to listen to WCCO, The Good Neighbor, and your dad, Chuck Lilligren. I'll never forget that. Thanks. So it's fun that you're on. And it's fun you're on our show, too. So it's like a legacy thing. It's really, it warms my heart, too. All right. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Yes.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, it's Robert Pilot. I want to talk to you about the rising energy costs and how you can manage them with the help of 952 Windows. Many people have plenty of insulation in their roof and attic, but the next significant step for energy savings is installing energy-efficient windows and doors. My good friend owns 952 Windows, a part of Loyal Home. They did a remodeling job on our home 20 years ago and definitely did a better job than the other guys. I've talked to neighbors over the years that experienced contractor problems with those other guys, especially when their window and door upgrades fell short in quality and energy efficiency. But when we made our second floor addition to our home, we used 952 Windows and received an excellent price and exceptional workmanship. Since then, we've seen much lower energy bills. So for your next home remodeling project, go with 952 Windows. Trust me, you won't regret giving them a call at 952-WINDOWS or 952windows.com.
It's back to school time, which means getting back to school ready. One important thing to add to your to-do list this year is making sure your child is up to date on their vaccinations. Getting vaccinated will help your family avoid missing out on school, activities, work, family events, and vacation. Keep your family healthy by talking with your health care provider or visiting our free vaccination clinics in Minneapolis. Visit the City of Minneapolis website and search for vaccine clinics. A message from the Minneapolis Health Department.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are back here with our friend Robert Lilligren, and Robert is the president and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. We are so happy to have you on, and Robert, I want to switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit about the national election. And I heard something from one of our guests a couple days ago, which I thought was really interesting, that we're really doing well. I think we're really doing well around the country, but we can't rest on our laurels because I believe what she said was that Hillary was this far ahead at this time in 2016. So that made me a really kind of shocked a little bit and remember that trauma.
Agree. It was trauma, and there is encouraging news, but you're 100% right, Robert. We cannot rest. Elections are not magical. They are hard work, and they take every one of us contributing our what we can. And that might be a few bucks here. It certainly will be a few hours on campaigns and helping out at all levels to turn out voters. but there are encouraging things. And I would say one thing that's different between this from this year but in 2016 is the sense of momentum, of hope, of joy. And mm-hmm. I feel like in 2016, some of that was lacking. And I think that the momentum, the hope, the joy can motivate people to get out there and mm-hmm. and do our part, right, to see what happens. And, you know, I thought when Harris stepped in as the Democratic nominee, she had the potential to really lift up down ballot races, impact certainly the majorities in D.C. in the Senate and in the House, but even locally. And it feels like that's happening. And you know, a lot of the polling data shows that. But it didn't feel that way in 2016. So that's a little bit different. You know, look, even you look at some of those, you know, kind of bellwether races, like the Senate, mm-hmm. the U.S. Senate race in Arizona, mm-hmm. with the Republican challenger is now down in the double digits in yes. polling. And so that's encouraging. And I think we'll see more of that. And then as you look at Harris's numbers, if you look into them, she is now up 13% within two important groups, both women and Hispanic voters nationally.
Yes.
So that's where you start growing those real majorities.
Yeah, and of course, the Gen Zers and the first-time voting, how many people, there was an unbelievable amount of people that registered to vote yeah. after the yeah. vice president got in. That's a big sign, too.
Right, that's a huge sign, and I'm going to make this number up, so please don't quote me on it. But I think voter registration is up something like 175% amongst Black women nationally.
Amongst Black women.
These are generating margins of victory.
Yeah, and I did hear that too just a few days ago. And then also I heard a number too, and maybe Haley, you can correct me if I'm wrong, or Robert. And that's what's exciting is after the VP became the candidate for president, there was 45,000 people that signed up to help with the Democratic Party in Wisconsin. Do you remember that number?
I don't know the number, Haley. Do you know it?
I don't know directly out of Wisconsin, but. It seems like quite a bit.
Well, I was on another show a couple days ago out of Wisconsin, and that's what they said. And I was like, wow, that's an unbelievable number.
Right. That's the excitement factor, right, that we really, really need, not just as in a presidential campaign. We need it as a country, right?
Right.
Something to be excited about, something to be hopeful about. And I think that's going to have direct impact on a lot of races. And now there's these bubbles being floated that there's a strong possibility of retaking the House of Representatives in D.C., of broadening the majority in the Senate, and that'll mean a different kind of governing that we've had here in Minnesota, right, mm-hmm. for the last 4 years with our trifecta, our House, our Senate, and our governor's office all being in Democratic hands. It's made a difference.
Oh, a huge difference, and I can see that. And it would be fun, too, to be able to push, once they get elected, push them more progressive, and also talk about the Supreme Court, all these things that Biden's starting to talk or was starting to talk about, you know, term limits, but also broadening out to 13 to match the number of, what is it, the districts? For the Supreme Court, it's something like that.
Appeals court districts, or I'm
yeah,
not sure.
To match the, number, and it made sense. But it's just the sky's the limit if we can get the trifecta nationally.
Agree. And I suspect a Harris administration and first term is going to be an extension of a lot of what President Biden mm-hmm. has been trying to move forward, but hopefully we'll have the political wherewithal to pass some of that. And you described them as progressive kinds of issues or initiatives. And I would suggest these are pretty mainstream. I mean, a lot of what you brought up is broadly supported by a majority of Americans.
Yes.
So it's not really this kind of, oh, we're so progressive. It's really a mainstream agenda.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I saw that percentages on that filmmaker's website of that basically he had a list of everything. This is Michael Moore had this unbelievable list. And 70% of the people are liberal in this country, basically, is what it said.
Right. Or what we would call liberal today. Right.
Yeah.
It might not have been liberal 25 years ago, but because the political temperature has moved so far to the right, you know, since Reagan, it feels more liberal. But again, it's really mainstream.
Right. It is. It really is. And common sense. Things are common sense. And even like what Wall says, mind your own business. I think we got to
mind your own damn business.
Yeah. Don't swear on my show, Robert. No, I'm
kidding. That's pretty lightweight. I could do worse. I could do worse.
I think I have done worse here. I think.
I love that. I think that's going to be lifted up. I'm really looking forward to the Harris Walls interview on CNN tonight.
Yes.
I think we'll hear the things. I would be very surprised if Walls doesn't say at some point, mind your own damn business.
Yeah. I shouldn't be, but I am so surprised and happy that Walls is on this ticket. It really shocked me. And then as it sunk in and then the people got to know him and he, you know, that's what we see is a really smart man that can speak to the crowds and any crowd. And off the top of his head, I know he's using a teleprompter now, but that was really funny when he told the Harris people that I don't know how to use a teleprompter. I never do. And I've never seen him use one.
Have you ever used one? Have you ever used a teleprompter?
Yeah, I used to teach video production. Yeah,
I love them. I've only used them a couple of times, but I love them. But most of his stuff is, you know, sort of off the cuff, ad lib. And one of the amazing things about him as a candidate and as a governor is he just doesn't flub. He doesn't flub a lot. You know, he knows what he wants to say and he says it eloquently and clearly. And I know you and a lot of others were surprised. I think I've shared this with you that he became the vice presidential nominee. But literally the moment that I learned that President Biden was stepping aside, Vice President Harris was stepping in, I said to the people I was with that same second, Governor Walls will be the vice presidential nominee. And everyone was like, oh, no, he won't. He's, you know, not on a high enough profile, or he's from a blue state that only has 10 electoral votes. And I kept saying, nope, he'll be the nominee. And as the list got shorter and shorter, and he was very often left off the short list. And then I kept saying, he'll be the nominee. And sure enough, he's a nominee, and he's so relatable, right? And I think there is a rationality, is that a word, of seeing Harris and with Walt standing behind her, that I think will draw a lot of voters and draw a lot of undecideds.
Absolutely. And I heard, and again, I'm spitballing numbers. Somebody can fact check my show later, but there's a large number of a former, the former president's workers that support just a couple days ago. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Were they presidents, Haley? Do you remember? Or were they all presidents? But there was like 500 presidential candidates. You know, so I think John McCain's first up, and there's like
right,
like Republicans that have come out to support Harris, and that says something, right?
Yeah, and I got to say this too, Robert. I'm not mainstream, but the mainstream media has got to get on the ball and really start talking about the great things that Biden and Harris have done. We were joking around with just being progressive. I believe Biden's been more progressive than probably since Johnson or even FDR for that matter.
I think you're right. And we'll see. That's why I'm really interested in the CNN interview tonight. We'll see what they lift up. I mean, Waltz has a strong progressive record of passing legislation, but Harris as vice president broke ties in the Senate, right? And so she can legitimately be correct.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. In her first sit-down interview since becoming the Democratic nominee for president, Vice President Kamala Harris was asked about some of her changes in policies.
The most important and most significant aspect of my policy perspective and decisions is my values have not changed.
Harris interviewed on CNN. Former President Trump says that if he wins a second term, he wants to make in vitro fertilization free. No details yet on how it would work or how he'd pay for it. A second case of Eastern equine encephalitis, a brain inflammation in a person, has been confirmed in Massachusetts by state health officials. A man from Massachusetts has been charged with scheming to cover up bomb making. Federal investigators say he triggered an explosion in his dorm at the University of Chicago. Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić announcing a $3 billion deal to buy French warplanes. That's a shift from always buying arms from Russia. This is ABC News.
I know I'm ready to start my opioids recovery journey because I've got courage, support, and meds. Yeah, meds. See, opioid use disorder is a chronic health condition, kind of like...
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. COVID-19 is spreading at a high rate right now in the Badger State. That's based on wastewater data, hospital admissions, and lab testing. State epidemiologist Tom Hupt says late summer COVID spikes are now the norm.
That could be due to the fact that people's immunity is starting to wane from last fall's vaccinations.
The new booster shot is rolling out, and he says it should be effective against the current strains. And Milwaukee tenants are suing the city's housing authority, saying it allowed a bedbug infestation to spread. College Court has a reputation in the city. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, since 2019, residents have filed more than 4,000 pest control requests for College Court. But residents claim that remediation never happened, and they had rashes so bad they were bleeding and thought it could be shingles. This lawsuit represents five tenants who are asking the housing authority to quickly solve the problem. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. One of America's favorite entertainers is writing her autobiography as a Broadway musical. Yahoo News reports that Dolly Parton will bring glitz and glamour to the stage in New York and do it on her terms. The show will tell the story of her humble childhood and growing up with 11 siblings in Tennessee and follow her rise to fame in Nashville. As fun as that may sound, it gets even better as her music will be showcased throughout the story. Hello, I'm Dolly will premiere in 2026. Will Ben Affleck ever recover from his failed marriage of almost 2 years to Jennifer Lopez? Robert Kennedy Jr.'s daughter, Kik, might have the answers. According to Page Six, Kik, whose real name is Kathleen, which is actually much easier to say with Kennedy, the duo has been hanging out at various spots around L.A. over the last several months. Spokespeople for Affleck and Kennedy say the two are just friends who hang out at hotels alone and have sex. I paraphrase the last part. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wamba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight. Some could be strong with damaging wind gusts and heavy rainfall. Lows in the upper 60s as rain comes to an end Friday morning. Pleasant temps and sunshine ahead for Friday and the holiday weekend. It's 69 degrees right now.
The Todd Alba Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident you're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. John Minow and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, it's a Football Friday with Burkle's One Block Over. We'll talk with Tony Mandarich.
And live music from Heights Pub and Parlor. We'll feature Dan Rafferty from Doolin Pianos. Join us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
here. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here with our friend Robert Lilligren, and Robert is the president and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. We are so happy to have you on. I want to switch gears a little bit, and then we can get back to a little politics talking, but just talk about what's happening at the Avenue. Today you had the market, and we got things going on in the gallery. Let's talk a little bit about that, if you don't mind, Robert.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate the time to talk about what we're doing at Native American Community Development Institute, NACDI, on the American Indian Cultural Corridor in Minneapolis. Today was our Four Sisters Farmers Market Day. It's one of our big food access and food sovereignty initiatives. It was a great market day, even without you two being there. I didn't see there, but it was really full, crowded. We had this great DJ, a Native guy who spins sort of vintage Native recordings, more pop music, but
very vintage recordings.
Yeah, that's a justice. And that was great. It's a little windy toward the end. We shut it down an hour early because of the weather, the incoming weather, but it was a great day. And that complements our Four Sisters Urban Farm, which is very nearby there. And that's just going gangbusters, not just with creating produce, but we're implementing our first medicine garden. The garden, the farm expands a little every year. So next is the medicine garden. Looking forward to that. At the gallery, you just had the nice promo with Jay White. They're amazing. I don't know if you've met her or talked with her. Very straight shooting, straight talking artist.
Haley has.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Lovely time with her.
I know. Within seconds of meeting her, she said something very inappropriate to me, but very funny, and it really connected us. So we have a great event coming up, which is a live, it's sort of her artist talk, but she does live painting, and that's kind of her thing. And so that's September 14th at our gallery, 2 to 4 p.m., and that's at 1414 East Franklin on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. Strongly encourage people to do that. And then our other big kind of area of projects and programs is in civic engagement, and especially voter engagement, voter registration, voter outreach through our Make Voting a Tradition project. And this year, that they are just off and running, working statewide, growing the pool of Native voters, and then tracking that progress to show. We're part of a 5-state partnership this year where Native votes are enough to swing an election, right? Yeah. So we have to make sure to get every Native voter there. And that's just going gangbusters. We have candidate forums scheduled and things, and just a lot happening. And just so folks know kind of the NACDI model, we stay grounded, authentically grounded in community through these areas, arts and culture, civic engagement, food sovereignty. And then we work to change systems, right? We engage with policy, with boardrooms, with non-Native institutions to better educate them about what's going on in the Native community. And so it's very satisfying work for me.
Well, you do other work too, and I've had the opportunity to kind of follow what you're doing and also be a part of what you're doing. And some of the work that you do for the Met Council is amazing, and you've brought, how do you say, join the tribe or bring the tribe along? There's a lot of Natives now, because of your work, that are plugged into what's happening in the Met Council, which, you know, there's so many things that they do. I was blown away, and I thought I knew what they did.
Right. So it's our 7-county metropolitan government. I serve as a district rep, and I represent the big chunk of the of almost all of South Minneapolis, so the Native community. A lot of the Native community in Minneapolis. Met Council is one of the most robust regional governments in the country, probably one of the most two robust and over the last few years, and I appreciate your involvement in this, or the last 6 months even, we've really centered Native voices in our planning through an advisory council that's about to produce your final report and recommendations to the full Met Council. And I love this so much. The Met Council itself is doing a remote meeting on the American Indian Culture Corridor at the newly redesigned Minneapolis American Indian Center. And that's not a common thing for us to go meet in community. So I look forward to the presentation. I'm thrilled that this is happening and maybe generate some Native attendance there as well. So the council can see our people and know that we're interested in being partners.
Well, and again, I have to applaud you. I know we've joked over the years how many committees you are on, but it's really breaking the glass ceiling, so to speak, and reminding people that we're still here. And your voice is so important and has opened that Met Council door to amazing things and amazing education and opportunities that I never thought that would be. I would be a part of, but that any Native would be a part of. So really big kudos to you, Robert.
Very kind. You know, it's community effort. We used to joke about my 17 titles, right? Which one are you going to use today? But, you know, as the first tribal citizen on the Minneapolis City Council, the first tribal citizen on Met Council, I have these other sort of civic first. And it's important to me not to promote myself, but there can't be a second. Right, until there's a first. Yeah. There can't be a fifth or a hundredth until there's a first. I mean, look at our lieutenant governor. What kind of door she's opening as a Native woman. And with this Met Council work, I'll tell you, Robert and Haley, it's different. And so halfway through the Native Advisory Committee's work, they came and presented to the committee I chair at Met Council, which is concerned with the planning part, and amongst other things. And, you know, I had all my lists of arguments to sort of promote and lift up, you know, the Native perspective and the Native direction. And as the information and the work of the work group was presented, my colleagues on the council started making my arguments, and I could kind of check them off one by one. The stuff that I've always been the only one in the room that had said it before. And so it's a different day. That's my point. I think there's an acknowledgement of the importance of centering Native voices, of engaging them. And I remember at this committee meeting, I was almost crying. And I said, you guys have to realize I'm accustomed to being the only person in the room saying these things. So be good.
Yeah, that's huge. And that brings me back kind of to what we've been talking about, especially with this election and how important it is that I've matured over the years, Robert, that I think I was more of a one issue voter. Right. And I've really matured over the years that we have to look at the big picture and how much progress we have. There's a lot to go, don't get me wrong, but how much we have in the last 10 years.
Right. And it's the generations coming up. I mean, look at Haley here, you know, as we've talked about before, young Native people overall, young Native leadership that's emerging are so much more grounded in their cultures, their languages, their histories, their traditional spirituality. And you can see the impact that's happening. And so really at this point in my life, it's trying to figure out how do we pass this on? Yeah. It's your turn, you know. We destroyed the world in my generation. Sorry. You know, we need you to come and help us heal.
Well, and it's been a slow, gradual a positivity towards whether it's history, whether it's book. I mean, we've sold so many at the State Fair, Banished Forever, the removal of Ho-Chunk from Minnesota. And people just don't know the story, but are learning and want to learn, all our white allies out there that listen to this show, too, all over civic media and the Twin Cities. We're just so grateful. Because I'm a conduit to really good guests like you that are experienced in the way it was, the way it's happening, and the way it's going to be.
Well, that's so kind. Thanks for the kind words. Thanks for your work, the two of you. I can't wait to see you out at the fair. I'm going tomorrow. And
I'm going out too.
Yeah. You'll what be out there, Haley?
Yeah, we all will be, I think.
Yeah. I won't be working, though, because I'm still tired from the DNC, and I had to work 5 days at the fair for my kids because my daughter just had a baby.
At your age, Robert, you need to get your rise.
Yeah.
Sure do. We don't even want to talk about when it was 100 degrees and what I accidentally called Haley.
I can't go out there. I was sorry to miss Indigenous Peoples Day out at the State Fair. It looks great from everything I saw on the socials. But I cannot be out in that kind of heat.
I know. No. I know. Isn't that sad? I used to love this stuff and lay in the beach and fry and go swimming. And now it's like, I got to go home and turn the air conditioning on.
Yeah, I used to love to sit and get hot and sweat. And now I can't spend that much time outside. But these are exciting times. And the generational shift that's happening within Indian country, it's so gratifying to see. And then, of course, here, you know, we had so many of our founders, AIM founders, other people who established cultural cornerstones here, and we're losing them. You know, it's that time, it's that season. And so people like you and me are kind of a bridge, right?
Yeah.
But I just wonder what they would think if they saw some of the young people coming up the way they are.
Well, and then just to we only got a couple of minutes left, but we talk about in our lifetime, I'm being 63 years old, and that we were able to practice our own religion, and we were both like juniors in high school, and how amazing that is. And so there was a lot of, you know, a couple generations of natives that had to acclimate to survive and do a lot of other things to survive. And now we have a newer generation are coming up and are taking what they deserve and what's theirs.
Right. And I agree. And the interesting thing, you know, is that genocide and then forced assimilation worked, right? And so Native people almost disappeared, right?
Yeah.
But they didn't. And the growth we've seen, not just in numbers, the population is, when the Indian community is a growing population in this country, a contemporary population. And I think as we try to figure our way out of a lot of the problems in our world, in our country, it's Indigenous ways that are going to really be our solutions.
Wow, great way to end it. Thank you so much, Robert. It's always fun and inspiring to have you on the show, really. Right on. Hey, up next, this is Native Roots Radio. Up next, we have Robert Blake, Solar Bear with the Solar News. Ho-wa. We'll be right back.
It's back to school time, which means getting back to school ready. One important thing to add to your to-do list this year is making sure your child is up to date on their vaccinations. Getting vaccinated will help your family avoid missing out on school, activities, work, family events, and vacation. Keep your family healthy by talking with your health care provider or visiting our free vaccination clinics in Minneapolis. Visit the City of Minneapolis website and search for vaccine clinics. A message from the Minneapolis Health Department.
The City of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Bonjour. Hello. My name is Wabin. I am an enrolled member of the White Earth Nation, descendant of the Navajo Nation, and co-chair of the Indigenous Employee Resource Group with the Minnesota Department of Transportation. MnDOT is hiring for a variety of positions from road maintenance to accounting and more. We offer great benefits. For more information or to set up a one-on-one resume and application assistance, visit mn.gov/careers or you can text or call 612-257-2388. 612-257-2388.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Lanine. I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl!
Howl!
Hey, right on. Hey, Bob, are you out in the storm there? What the heck?
I'm caught in the storm, Robert. I am caught in the storm. It's coming down. It is coming down out here.
You know my native name, right? My native name is Wakunjahade, which means distant thunder. So we like the storm here just to keep the show going, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Hey, distant thunder. I didn't know that. That's so cool, Robert.
Hey, thanks. I want to mention a couple things before you give us our Solar Bear report. And one of the things, I don't know if you've seen on my Facebook, but I was driving down the street heading home from the fair, and there was a car that was a Tesla. And I was like, at first I didn't know what it was because I looked at it and it had the same font, right? And it said Kamala on there instead of Tesla with the same font and the same letters on the back of the car. I thought that was awesome. It was crazy. It was like on Summit Avenue.
Yeah, and you know that Elon Musk has been catching a lot of flack for the comments he's been making,
yeah,
you know, and his like support of Trump. I mean, I don't know. I feel like he's going off the deep end or something, Robert.
Yeah, well, also what was really ironic about that day, Robert, was that I posted a thing that said spotted on a Tesla earlier that day, and it says it was like kind of a sticker on the window. It said, I bought this before we knew Elon was crazy. So give those guys that have Teslas a break, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, and that really brings up a really good segue, Robert, into electric vehicles. They're saying, Robert, that in a couple of years that we're going to have the same amount of charging stations, around the country as like, you know, gas stations. So, you know, we're still lagging behind. But the point being there is that, you know, the easier we make it for everybody to be able to charge their vehicle, the quicker adoption we'll have of electric vehicles. So that's really what I think this administration has been really trying to focus in on. And I hopefully, you know, we get Kamala to, you know, fingers crossed here. I'm feeling pretty confident about it, Robert. But if we get that particular, administration in, I can only see that this will go, very successful with this outlay of all these charging stations.
Yeah, definitely. And let me just put it this way. Joe Biden's probably the most progressive president we've ever had, and probably since FDR and Johnson with the New Deal and all that. And hope our Vice President Harris will pick that up. And I know Governor Walz has been behind a lot of our progressiveness here in the state.
Yeah, and I mean, and I think like the big thing, Robert, is just like, you know, I mean, climate change is real. I mean, it's just happening. And cheap energy, you know, is good for democracy, is good for the planet. And it's really what drives world leadership, you know, and we've known that because in this country, we've always had cheap energy, right? And so we know that that drives industry, that drives businesses, that drives, you know, economies. So, you know, I really feel like, you know, if we have, you know, if we focus in on cheap energy and you really see the states that are doing that, those are the economies that are going to be doing really well in the future. I, you know, and China is doing this. Germany has done that, and look at their economy. So, I mean, when you think about it that way, I mean, that's why I really believe that focusing in on charging stations, electric vehicles, renewable energy, it's really going to happen. And specifically, Robert, too, tribal nations need to start making this switch too, in this adjustment. One of the folks that I work with is doing a big project on one of these army bases, and was kind of giving me some insight onto what they're doing, you know, talking to me about stuff. And he, you know, it was really interesting because I was thinking to myself, wow, man, you know, they're really preparing these army bases for, you know, for climate change. And I just think about how our cities and our towns really need to be focused on that also, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. And I think it is. And the government like has really helped out with that, and with a lot of grants and things like that are still popping up there. And so it's exciting to be doing this. It's exciting. It's really exciting. And we talk about, Bob, you've been on the show for 8 years working on this, and just how much growth the industry has happened, and the things that you've been working on, and the awards you're getting.
I can't believe, Robert, that it's been that long, and I've been screaming from the top of the mountain on this stuff forever, and it's actually coming true. It's ridiculous. We were just talking about this the other day. I was out of town, and I was just like, wow, I can't believe that this dream or this vision that I had is actually happening, and it's becoming reality. And it's amazing to see how everything is progressing. But I mean, like I said, we still have a lot of work to do. We still have a lot more to get done. But I mean, it's really exciting, Robert, just to see kids, to see, you know, people that are looking into doing this for a career. The jobs that have grown in the renewable energy industry is remarkable. You know, Joe Biden, the Biden administration is going to, September 5th, they're going to southwestern Wisconsin to talk about the Inflation Reduction Act and the jobs that have been created by this, you know, historic legislation, Robert. So that's happening next week, so on September 5th. You know, he's going to southwestern Wisconsin. So I think that's just incredible, all the jobs and all the opportunities that are coming from all this. And we just got to get out and vote too, Robert, in November. Yeah. Like, everybody's got to get out. Like, we can't pretend we got this.
Right.
We've been bamboozled before. It's just so important that you talk to 10 of your family members. I'm now on a PAC. I'm on a board member on a political action committee, and I do this on my free time. Everyone, Bob Blake, just regular citizen guy. Want to make that clear. you know, I mean, it's those kinds of things, Robert. You always say on this, join, like, run for office, like, start a company, start a nonprofit, like,
yeah,
all those things. Like, it's so true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been leading the way, and it's funny watching this and experiencing it, both the trajectory of Solar Bear and also Native Roots Radio, and then we went down to DNC and learned and met all those other Indians that are doing great work around the country, and yeah, and you gave out a T-shirt to Amy Klobuchar. I'll never forget that.
And Robert, I just want to say too, like, honestly, like, what you're doing with this radio show, I mean, you are just giving a voice to, like, so many folks. Air the American Indian, that thing, that, I mean, you know what I mean, because we just started this thing, like, Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake, you know, and the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and all these people.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer, the founder of the Recombobulation Area and political editor of Civic Media, joins us at 10:30. Be here.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. They put out fake AI photos of
Taylor Swift saying that she endorsed him.
Right. And Trump retweeted that. And of course, all of that is untrue.
Don't mess with the Swifties. You'll have my daughters showing up.
I mean, it's a whole new level of Swift boating.
Trump and Las Vita might get Swift boated already. Taylor Swift boated.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.